Hello there.
At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
Hello there. Welcome to a podcast about Star Wars Shatterpoint, the Star Wars universe. My name is Jesse Aiken, and I'm joined by my co-host, Aman Khusro. How are we doing today, Aman?
Hey, man.
Super excited to record with you. A little under the weather, so apologies to our listeners if I sound a bit nasally.
I feel like
my family got COVID, and while I have tested negative thus far, you know, you put two and two together.
Yeah, I was sick during our Sabotage Showdown episode. That's so funny. It's this time of year, man. It's, you know, I'm about 85% recovered. I'm still not all the way there, but went to that tournament in Texas and just was sick since. I've been sick since. I don't know what happened.
You're wild out here. We don't have rules, Jesse.
It's exactly what it is. No rules in Texas. So, well, speaking of Sabotage Showdown, we hope you guys enjoyed that episode. That was a really fun episode to do our more standard format of a resource episode, right? Kind of like our box episodes and our rules episodes. And we've been playing more Sabotage Showdown. And so more discussion on that coming in the future. But today we're not playing Sabotage Showdown. We're talking about all the reasons why we love this wonderful game, because we are closing out the year on this note, because this was the game that launched this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we got great feedback on our Sabotage Showdown episode, and we were spitballing ideas on kind of how we wanted to end out the year. And I think only made sense, a natural conclusion was to talk about how much that we love this game, how we've been able to talk about it nonstop since its release. In fact, since before it came out.
That's right.
Have, you know, dozens, if not, you know, over 100 patrons join us and
amazing
interact with us and listen to us. Thousands of listeners, you know, like the fact that we're pushing 100,000 in less than a year is crazy in terms of total downloads and streams. So I'm just super blessed. And all of that is because of Star Wars and Star Wars Shatterpoint. So why not celebrate the game?
Absolutely. The game launched this year, and we think it's a perfect time to look through the lens of the things we love about the game. And maybe if you're new to Shatterpoint, or if you're on the fence, some things that really speak to us about the game, and maybe you'd be interested in them as well. You could take the plunge this holiday season. That's the time right now. We didn't mention happy holidays to everyone. I want to take time to do that. But like we said, it's the end of the year. Just put a bow on this, quite literally.
Yeah. Obviously, that's literally what it is we want to put a bow on it, wrap it up real nicely, throw it under the Christmas tree, and just celebrate the joy that is Star Wars during the holiday season. Mm. You know, and on our Candid Canteen episode, you did mention that Star Wars is a Christmas movie.
Whoa, I didn't mention that. I mentioned that it's a great movie to watch during the holiday season, but yes.
Fair enough.
Well, you know, classics are just a great thing to watch during holidays, right? And frequently you look at the major networks on television here in the United States, and they will show a lot of classic movies. Star Wars top of the list. Yeah, I think we love Star Wars and Shatterpoint so much, Aman. This episode felt pertinent to make.
Definitely pertinent to make. And I think also we wanted to create a resource, as we often say, for players who maybe have been gifted Shatterpoint during the holiday season, or yes, maybe are going to get some Christmas money and are thinking, what's the next game I can get into? What is a good game I can invest not only in myself, but maybe my community can as well? And obviously, Jesse and I believe that Shatterpoint is that game. And so hopefully, after you hear us talk about and list some of the reasons why we love this game, it may encourage you to jump in and join the fun.
Oh, absolutely. And I know there's a lot of Rebel and Empire players out there on the fence. And you guys, your time is coming this spring, which is very exciting. AMG is just now fully revealed to us that those factions will be coming in the next year, right? And a major way. Anybody that's been waiting, if Clone Wars is not your thing, now's a great time to do it. So, and we'll probably touch on some of that today. But before we get into our main topic today, Aman, we do have some people to thank, starting with Mr. Laser. We are affiliated with Mr. Laser at mr-laser.square.site. And you can use the code HELLOTHERE5 to get 5% off his already discounted rate, any Shatterpoint product, or any other things on his website that interest you.
We are also affiliated with Imperial Terrain, the premier creator of Star Wars-themed terrain for tabletop gaming. Definitely check them out. You can use the code HELLOTHERE5 for both Mr. Laser and Imperial Terrain to get 5% off their products.
Absolutely. And most important of all, as Aman mentioned, those of you out there that support us on Patreon are keeping us going. at patreon.com/hellothercast. If you enjoy our show, would like to get access to our private Discord community, get bonus episodes of the podcast, get access to the Hello There Leagues, take part of these behind the scenes discussion and Star Wars watch parties and stuff we got on here sometimes, definitely check out the Patreon tiers. You guys directly keep us going. We're really trying to make every episode as best we can and make the community the best we can every time we do an episode. And these patrons are literally doing this, Amon. They're helping us pay our bills, helping us keep all of our quality levels up that we want to do, and honestly just keeping us motivated, right? And just keeping us focused on this game and this community we love so much. So thank you guys so much for that.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so, so very much. And speaking of patrons, we have three new patrons that have joined us in the last week. We have Michael, Ulysses, and Tolstar Deluxe. Thank you to all three of you for joining us. Ulysses and Michael at the Padawan Acolyte tier and Tolstar Deluxe at the Jedi Knight Sith Warrior tier.
Thank you guys so much. And of course, we cannot do the show without our producers. You guys make every episode happen. And so you get a shout out every episode. Huge shout out to Bounty Hunter Brady, our producer, and our ultimate producers of the galaxy, Sith Emperor Kevin, Grandmaster Griffin, and Daimyo Matt. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
All right, Amon, let's get right into this topic today. Why we love Star Wars Shatterpoint.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to start with just the fact that it's Star Wars, right? Jesse and I have made it no secret that we love the IP, we love the universe, the world, the stories, the emotions that you feel when digesting any sort of media that comes from Star Wars, whether it's expanded universe or legends, rather, is what they call it, or canon. I think for me, what I personally enjoy about this game so much, aside from the lore, is the fact that to me, Star Wars is all about, and Jesse uses this phrase a lot, is found family. Star Wars is about those group of misfits that come together and stumble upon something big, realize that they're able to change the fate of a planet, a battle, a universe, a galaxy, and they do it. And it's amazing. And I never really got into very many Star Wars tabletop games before this. I dabbled in X-Wing a little bit, but I never really got into Legion because I never really was interested in the large scale battles. But Shatterpoint to me just feels like Star Wars because it's like six units on the battlefield.
Yeah,
you have this small squad, you have Anakin, you have Rex, and you have a couple clones with him, and they're going to go do a mission. They're going to just go carry it out, and that's Star Wars to me. That's watching the Clone Wars, that's watching the movies, all that stuff in the background, that's cool, those big battles. But I like following the characters I love, or the characters I love to hate, in the case of some villains, and watch them do the things that make them who they are. That's what I think is super amazing, because I get that feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Star Wars is actually about the individuals, right? And this is what makes it this modern fairy tale fantasy that we have in our modern ethos, right? It is less about the battle, Mon. It's more about a particular character, what they did in that battle to turn the tide of the war and save that whole planet, right? And save the people they care about, maybe in their found family. I mean, Han, Luke, and Leia come to mind all the time, right? They are a family, straight up. But they all come from different backgrounds, right? But it's the nature of these missions, what you're talking about, which is so Star Wars, where it's like the tension is there, the emotion is there. And yeah, it's at the core of Star Wars, which are these duels and these stakes, duels and stakes, you know, massive things in Star Wars. And I think this game executes that beautifully. And like you said, as opposed to a space combat game or a large warfare-based game like Legion, there's still stakes and all that stuff in those games, but it's a completely different feel. And I think Shatterpoint, like you said, executes Star Wars the best of any game we've had thus far in the Star Wars tabletop world. It just feels the most Star Wars. And that's hard to do. It's hard to do. Star Wars is pretty unique.
Certainly. So I think personally, that's why I've really come to love the game, is just because I can run those team ups also. But it's also like a little bit of fan headcanon as well. Like,
for sure.
Oh, what if Darth Maul and Vader actually did work together? You know, like, that's super cool to me.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, turns out that would be two Sith to deal with. That'd be a lot. That'd be a thing. Well, in keeping with the theme and lore being so strong in the game, the miniatures. The miniatures in this game are some of the best in a Star Wars line for a miniatures game. And I say that through a lot of lenses. The first lens is it's the most heroic, largest scale we've ever had for a Star Wars game. So that's cool. It already makes the duels and these nature of just having a couple models on the board feel more impactful. Larger bases with that. In addition to that, when the game was first revealed, I was so taken aback in a good way, but I was taken aback that they chose to create a miniatures game about Star Wars through a stylized lens. I thought that was very unique, very different. And we've seen the like just movie accurate miniature style so many times for Star Wars games. So for this game to take a stylized route, was not expecting it. And I was pleasantly surprised. And that goes all the way down to the art on the cards as well, which match the stylized miniatures, right? And I don't know, it just brings it all together, adds a whole different flavor, and it makes you feel like you're in that Saturday morning cartoon, like they've referenced a lot at AMG, where you're just dropped in the middle of an episode of Clone Wars, Anakin and Ahsoka are in there, and you gotta get the mission done.
Completely agree. I think the miniatures are beautiful. The heroic scale lends itself really well to the Star Wars aesthetic, and the interesting thing about Star Wars characters is that they're actually quite simply dressed. There aren't too many fussy details or intricacies on most characters. Obviously, Queen Amidala is quite a decorative piece, but you know, you even take a look at some of the bounty hunters or the Jedi, it's just robes, and it lends itself to a great miniature to put together, to paint, to hobby with, to look at on the battlefield, and to really experiment with. And I think AMG quite possibly has made some of their best work in terms of miniatures produced through the Shatterpoint line. Obviously, General Grievous comes to mind. He looks amazing. Honestly, I think it's the best miniature they've ever made, period.
It is, probably so. That's well said.
No, absolutely. And there are a couple other characters, like I think Obi-2 in the dual box. Such so an good. Amazing character. You talk about some art. You know, that never art. Thought I'd ever see Obi-2 in that kind of art. It looks so cool.
Like manga style.
Almost, yeah. And then,
yeah.
You know, the new upcoming Luke that looks so good. Seeing Luke in that art style is wild to me because this is clearly like a Clone Wars Rebels blend. But
yeah,
I really like it. I'm a big fan of everything. And it's just beautiful to look at as well as to play with.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it feels fresh. It feels artistically relevant and new and different. Like that Luke is a great example you gave. Luke, of course, has been done in the comic book and manga style over the years, and it's great. But it's the combination of that on the card and Luke being done that way in miniatures for the first time, right? And it's not a canon movie Luke. It's a stylized version of canon movie Luke, right? And that is just unique. So it already makes the game have a unique feel. It's fun. It's very engaging because of that. And you're gonna get people over the table. And the last bit on this miniature zone I want to talk about them on is clearly AMG understands that Star Wars, all the characters are so iconic. Most characters in Star Wars, you know them by their silhouette. And AMG approaches these models through the silhouette. The things that matter with the characters in these silhouettes, they know and they emphasize. And yeah, you see that Dooku or Grievous from a distance, you know who it is, right? Like you see Maul with the saber out in front of him. Just the silhouette of that, we know it's Maul, right? But then you get to the detail and the intricacies of it, and you're like, okay, now we're just really in the minutia of it. So yeah, I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I hope they keep that work up of the silhouettes being so strong as well. At the end of the day, these characters have to be recognizable from table height, and they got to be recognizable to people of all interest in Star Wars. You know what I mean? To the people that are super deep into the lore like me, all the way to people that maybe have seen the films a couple times and that's it. The models are so good that it doesn't matter where you're at and you're on the Star Wars journey, right? You're going to recognize it. You're going to enjoy it. So I think miniatures are a huge selling point of a miniatures game, and these might be some of the best.
Yeah, 100%. Every character is clearly recognizable and does an excellent job of highlighting that character in that particular snapshot in which the character has been chosen from. So going back and referencing Luke, that Luke miniature is Return of the Jedi Luke. Looks great.
Oh, man. It has me hyped for other Lukes.
Yeah, very different from a New Hope Luke, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, that's kind of like the thematic layers, because we talked about the art, the lore, the miniatures. And I think we'll talk more about the lore in the coming discussions, because we're going to talk about mechanics, because the lore is tied with mechanics as well. But let's talk on this bit, Amon, about how the game is quick and snappy and a lot of back and forth.
Absolutely. So I think one of my favorite parts about Shatterpoint is the fact that as a functioning adult, I'm able to still get my gaming in while not sacrificing some of my other priorities.
Yeah.
Or my family time or my work. At a certain point, once you get the rules down, you can get a game of Shatterpoint in less than 90 minutes.
For sure.
Easily.
Easily, yeah.
Like 3 to 4 games in, once I understood how the game worked and the concept, I was just flying through it. Now, obviously, I have years of gaming experience, but I have some locals who this was their first true miniatures game, and they are flying through that pace as well. So it's quite exciting because it just seems more practical in today's day and age. Like, I don't have any issue with people who are playing 4-hour games. In fact, I am jealous. I'm quite envious of the fact that they can find that much time in their day. But for me, if I have 1.5 hours, 2 hours to kill, I can go to my local game store or online, play a great game, and move on. Find it to be competitive and entertaining.
Yeah, because we're at that point in life where it's like, we need that, like you said. In addition to that, we want a fully fleshed out game experience in the short amount of time. And sometimes, quite frankly, certain miniatures games in the 90-minute format don't deliver on that. They don't scratch all the itches. What's cool about Shatterpoint is that is a very intense back and forth 90 minutes, right? It is not, there's not anything like eating up the time, you know, like a lot of like mindless stuff. It is a lot of active play. And I think that goes a long way for me. Some game systems are not like that, right? There's a lot of checks and saves and balances and things like that that really cut into your time. And I think one of the strongest strengths of Shatterpoint is, I mentioned it's kind of back and forth and quick through the sense of the play. The game is always moving. And in fact, through the nature of the rules, there's not even really rounds per se. I mean, there is new struggles that set up, right? But once that new struggle sets up, you're just going back and forth again, right? Until that struggle's done. So there's not even like a cleanup phase and stuff, you know? It's just, you're just moving, moving, moving the whole time. And I absolutely adore that.
Absolutely. Another aspect of the game that we really enjoy is the fact that objectives that the game revolves around fluctuate in terms of their activity. And it forces players to interact with one another, which is what I love. There are other games I've played in the past and still currently do, where sometimes the best course of action in order to win the game is to hide or to be uninteractive, to turtle. But you cannot do that in this game.
No, you'll be punished.
You will be. You want to win the game, you have to go fight for it. And that's what I really like. I'm out here throwing my units onto points, trying to hold them, while also, you know, dueling, shooting, fighting your units who are also similarly trying to contest the exact same points. And it makes it, sir, for some really good gameplay, because maybe you need the midpoint and maybe you're losing that fight. So maybe you reinforce that midpoint with some units from your back points. But then what happens, right? Now you're exposing your back points. So maybe your opponent can be, maybe it's not even worth fighting all these units at this midpoint. I'll just go to the back point if they have the movement. So there's a lot of decisions to make. In fact, I lost a game earlier today because I overcommitted a unit to the middle and my opponent, with some sneaky shenanigans that I wasn't prepared for, was able to just stick a unit back and turned what I thought was my perceived advantage into a disadvantage. And I think that's really fun because a lot of games don't let you to do that, you know?
No, they certainly don't. And the nature of the way this game scores absolutely feeds into the very thing Amon's talking about. The push and pull of the struggle tracker, the back and forth of that, and the momentum. So, you know, the fact that each player scores every round is very unique to this game, very different, and that they're scoring on the same score tracker, right? So that already makes it so much more interactive. It also makes blowouts of points less likely, just don't happen very often at all. And if they do happen, it's probably one of those things that opponent's been working for that for a really long time in the game, and they finally just hit a point of explosive nature of that. So I think you're always in it, which is very fun with the score. And that push and pull is so, it creates such great tension, which I think was their goal all along. And then you add the momentum on top of that, which is another element, which is the shortening of the score tracker to make that tension even ratcheted higher as you continue to go back and forth. And I think it just adds to exactly what Amon was talking about. You can't run away. You can't turtle. You can't hide. You can't not participate, because that score tracker has to come back every time, you know?
Yeah. And managing that score is also a fun and nuanced aspect of this game that a lot of people don't realize, is sometimes it's okay to let your opponent have a slight edge because you start building up momentum on your side.
That's true. And then
when you get a big swing turn, your opponent's like, oh, wow, they just won that struggle, right?
Yeah.
And if you're new to Shatterpoint, Shatterpoint is a game of where you have to win 2 out of 3 struggles. And so oftentimes, you can generally win in the first 2 struggles, but as people are getting more and more experience with the game, we're starting to see a lot of games go to the 3rd struggle. Obviously, there's a lot of variance, but...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you touched on that best 2 out of 3. That just is fun, Amon. The best 2 out of 3 is fun. It also makes the game less steamrolly or blowout in the sense of like maybe a new player versus a seasoned player, because no matter what, like, you still have a chance to get back in that struggle 2, right? And bring it back and then maybe have a great final fight over struggle 3 and see who can really bring the game home. Once again, it adds to the tension. It adds to the lore of that, like, get it done in Star Wars, you know, against all odds, hope, all that. And I think it absolutely works.
I think so too. And it's fun. It's a little tension seeking. Like, I think there's a certain point where, you know, you probably might lose, but there's also points where it's like, I don't know. I mean, just because they're scoring a lot right now doesn't mean that I won't turn it around. And there have been games where I've won and lost off these pivotal cool moments that really felt cinematic.
Oh, yeah.
Like some crazy stuff happens and you're like, wow, that's really cool. And so, again, the push and pull, that score tracker, it's very unique and it's fun.
Oh, absolutely. And I think something we haven't touched on yet, but I think is a natural touchstone from that moment you just mentioned, Amon. Every unit matters and every unit has a massive impact on the score, if not the same impact, right? It's just that primaries typically do more, secondaries do more than supports, and supports do the least. But guess what? They all score the same. And the base rules of the game, and you've just got to win the game with your whole team. This is not a... Sometimes certain miniatures games, certain characters take the spotlight. They take all the spotlight. Everything's built around that model, right? In a list, right? Not the case with Shatterpoint. Every model plays their role and helps you win the game. And without them, you can't do it. So you actually feel the push and pull even more impactful. And like when that clone trooper goes down, you feel it more, right? Than the big war game with a bunch of clone troopers, or maybe the other miniatures game where you've got the big model and then the chaff around it, right? You feel it in this game because you're like, okay, now that struggle is shifting even more because I had 2 clones on that point. Now they're wounded. What do I do? You know?
Exactly. And it's really funny you mentioned that, you know, despite the fact that they're all different, they all are equals in a way, because I've heard, whether it's been said on this podcast or on other content creators, it's so funny. I've heard every single, like, set of content creators that I listen to personally say that each unit is like the most important or impactful in different time zones, right? It's like you'll hear where one line of thought is like, oh, I feel like supports are just the most important units in the game. And then maybe that thought shifts to, actually, no, I think secondaries are the most impactful. And then it goes back to, no, I'm going to back. I think supports, you know, you need to have great supports. And it's really funny, but it's true. There are games where you're going to have primary units that do nothing and your supporting units do all your heavy lifting and vice versa. And hopefully most games are somewhere in between. So it's cool and it's fun. And it really does feel like, you know, maybe that one B1 battle droid unit that, you know, seems really measly and comical in a show, but, you know, one lucky shot,
he's
take
hero.
A Jedi down, you know?
Oh, that. And I was just saying too, like whether it's the B1 or Dooku, he's still counting for 1 on that point, right? And one of the, I got to win that point, right? So I love that the game at its most base elements is this push and pull of the struggle tracker and scoring points and this chess-like nature of moving pieces around the board to take those points, right? Then you add in all the minutiae of the powers, of the trees, of the abilities, which we're going to get to. And that's where it gets really nuanced and fun and thematic too, right?
Yeah. And speaking of stuff that's nuanced and thematic, and it's actually something that no other game has done as well, in my opinion, is the verticality.
Right. So games have verticality. This is not new, but in this game, it is new, the way they did it.
Because it matters.
Right. Where the objective is on the verticality matters for scoring, but you can still score from the other elevations. Tiebreakers with that. Jumping. Ingress points, which is a new rule in this game that, you know, some games have had climbing rules, right? But this is a passive climbing rule that everybody has and lets your creative terrain mind run wild, right?
Exactly. But it's also the fact that characters who may be shooting from a higher elevation get advantage with the case of the Handmaidens, or the way that cover works. If you have the high ground, then you can see things, right? Where you stand in terms of the verticality of the game and where the objective is also affects your efficacy at scoring it. Yes. Obviously, you want to be on the same elevation as the objective, right? And so there's just so many cool things that are done really well. The fact that it feels like Star Wars, characters are moving, jumping, diving. Obviously, the actual miniatures can't do that. But if you let your imagination just soar a tad, you can see why a lot of the rules make sense, you know? For example, like if there is a building on level 3, right, in terms of the verticality, and then there's a gap, and then there's another building on level 3, and your character can advance or move from one end to the other, you don't have to go down and go up. The thought process is somehow, some way, your character, because they're already at that elevation, is able to get across, whether it's a clone using a zip line or a droid using some sort of technology, or a force user just vaulting over it because they use the force.
For
it's,
sure.
Because, you know, it's like, oh, that's kind of weird. But then it's like, actually, it's not weird. It's really total sense.
They already got up here. Yeah. Let's keep the rules nice and clean. I love that. I love
cinematic.
Oh, definitely cinematic. And it also keeps the pace of the game going. Because once again, we're not doing a climb check, right? We're not doing modifiers or add plus or minus. We're just, oh, you can actually reach that, or oh, you have a jump on this character, go for it, right? And I absolutely love that because I think it keeps, once again, the push and pull of the game constant, right? And which is what we need, because at the end of the day, you win this game by scoring points, Amon. You actually don't win this game by killing models. And that's another thing we haven't touched on yet, but I think it means a lot because if you've played a lot of miniatures games, you've run into systems where sometimes you just get removed before your models are even in the fray, right? This game, that doesn't really happen. At least it doesn't happen a really long time into the game. Models are rarely removed. And even when they're removed, they can still move or be moved by your allies and stuff. And scoring will change very soon, right? And you'll pull them from the deck. And now we're off to the races again and they're back.
Yeah. And I think that simplicity makes it to where it's such an interesting game. You mentioned the climb checks and things like that, like in other games. I completely agree. We're not getting bogged down in the minutiae of things. It's let's make something super simple and easy to use and play with. And you're right in terms of the attrition style that a lot of other games have. You know, you alluded to this example where, oh, I have this big boy unit, maybe in Legion, like my Darth Vader, or in another game, it could be my hero unit or my giant walker. And before you even get to use it, it gets blasted off the table. And that feels bad.
Yeah.
But in Shatterpoint, you always get to use your stuff. It might be more expensive in terms of your force economy, in terms of your resources, but they're still there. That's what's so interesting about Shatterpoint is that very rarely will miniatures actually leave the table. And I know that they can be jarring for a lot of people, especially from Warhammer backgrounds.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends who've joined this game, who I've been on a crusade to get into and who have eventually joined and played and loved the game, said that one of the hardest things for them to get over was the fact that when a miniature is wounded or down, they just sit there. Because if you play other games in the Warhammer realm, the minis are flying off the board.
Yeah.
So that I thought is always funny. It made sense to me, but I guess I can definitely understand that experience. And so, again, the game is focused around holding objectives. That's not to say that combat isn't important. Combat is huge, right? And there are some really cool moments where heavy hitters like Savage Opress or Darth Vader or Darth Maul and Anakin, Mace Windu, can take people out
for sure
consistently. But it's not always about how many units you're wounding. It's about how many units are in the right position and how you react to the moves your opponent is making and how you preemptively defend against the moves they're planning to make.
It's a lot of sweeping movements and kind of seeing the future with your plays and stuff, right? And obviously, wounding models is part of that, but it's so much less of a tenet of the game as compared to these other games, like Iman just mentioned. And I also tell players too, Iman, when they start playing the game, is they're knocked out. They're asleep, right? I mean, we saw the Kenobi show. Vader won the first fight and buried Obi-Wan under the ground, right? But what happened? Obi-Wan woke up, came back, and we know what happens after that.
Obi-Wan shatterpointed.
Obi-Wan shatterpointed and thought of Luke and Leia, busts out of that ground. You know, the rest is history. But what I'm saying is that's a prime example where characters in Star Wars do get knocked out from time to time. They come back to fights and then they bring a different energy or not. And maybe that headcanon doesn't work for you as well with the supports, but my theme with the supports is this is not two 501st troopers. This is a couple of them on the battlefield, right? And, you know, one of them went down, but another one's taking his place, right? So,
yeah, reinforcements, you know, like
100%.
General Skywalker needs backup. You know, we're taking heavy fire.
Exactly. Like, when have you ever seen just six B1s, right?
Yeah. That's another thing.
Yeah.
It's only six B1s, but they're so fast. And it's this feeling of someone was saying, like, I think I was my opponent earlier today where they were saying, like, I don't understand why the droids are so fast. And they were playing Separatists. And I was like, well, you got to think about it this way. It's this idea that there's just so many of them that they're everywhere.
Yeah. They just keep coming in.
They just keep coming, right? And so.
And they're not slow, to be fair. I mean, B2s are kind of slow, but B1s walk the speed of a man.
I think he was more referencing the fact that Separatist has a lot of, like, dashes or five dice attacks that can be enabled by other units.
And yeah.
They work really well with one another. But that's another example, right, Jesse? Right before the show started, you were talking about how the game encourages you to play thematically.
In a lot of ways, it does. Absolutely. So, good shout out, Amon. So, the Separatists is a great example of that. If you bring both droid officers and two Separatist primaries and all droids, you are highly rewarded because your Separatist playstyle is fully online, getting all the droids moving extra, all the droids shooting more, because what do you know? All their leaders and officers are there guiding those droids into battle the best way possible to win the battle, right? So the theme is perfect where you're like, okay, Jango's great, but what if I bring Kraken instead of Jango? Well, all my droids are moving even more, right? Than if I had Jango, who's a great model. So if I have Kalani and Kraken now, it makes perfect sense. That's the best version of the droid supports, right? When we have both officers on the field, we have Dooku and Grievous with them or something like that. And that's what's amazing about the droids, as you said, Amon. It feels like the droid army where they just keep coming and coming and coming. And they've got these high health pools, but with terrible defense rolls. And that's what they got. They got a lot of metal coming at you. And they're not going to make a lot of saves because they're not agile. But do they care? They're just going to keep advancing, right? And I love that.
Yeah, and that extends to other affiliations as well, right? Whether you want to play Republic, hopefully Empire and Rebels in the future. The idea with Shatterpoint is that it rewards you for playing into theme, playing into your affiliation, your tag, as they like to call it. But what I also find really compelling about the Star Wars Shatterpoint is that it also rewards you for mixing things up and trying unique stuff. Because
right.
Multiple characters have multiple tags. So you can be a Republic, Galactic Republic character. You can be a clone trooper, but you're also a trooper. Now, this example doesn't exist and it may never, but the idea is that if someone moves a trooper, regardless of what affiliation that trooper is from, then that means all troopers in the game could have some sort of synergy with X character. So if someone says Force user, for example, that could relate to a Sith, a Jedi, a Dathomirian. That ranges from support units to ranged units.
Oh, yeah.
Melee units, primary, secondary, everything, right? And that offers some opportunity as well. And then, of course, you have the bounty hunters, right? Where they can play nice with everybody, but you have to play smart with them as well. So what I love about this game is the list building aspect of it. Obviously, again, it rewards you for theme, but I do like how you can explore a little bit, you can experiment, and you can be rewarded.
Yeah, you can do those team-ups you've always had headcanon about, like Amon said, Vader and Maul maybe, or you could do something that maybe even happened in the lore, something really off the wall that happened in Clone Wars, Asajj and Obi-Wan teaming up, right? Where it's these things happen in Star Wars a lot. So you're not necessarily bound by your tags, and the game encourages you to play whatever you want as long as within the same era, right? So all additionally, as a hobbyist, if you're a painter or someone who really enjoys Star Wars, well, let's say you're really proud of your paint job on General Obi-Wan Kenobi and Maul. If you want to run them together, you can totally do that if you want to, right? That's totally to you, whether or not their tags match or not. The game gives you options. And like Amon said, you can go fully tag centric. You can go fully mix and match or somewhere in the middle and find what best works for you as a player and what you want to get out of the game. So I absolutely love that, because I've always been a huge fan of Marvel Crisis Protocol, because I think AMG really rewards people who put time into their miniatures and painting and stuff like that through the system that's built in that game, which is you can bring models wherever you want. And Shatterpoint is very, very similar, where it's like, I put a lot of time into my OB2. Turns out I can run him a lot of places, Amon, and I feel really good about that, right? So that's just one example. And I think also with that same mindset and ideas, what we've been talking about, we haven't touched on the combat trees yet. And I think we should talk about the combat trees and what makes characters in this game unique, but also all characters have a cap on what they can do that's baked in, which is unusual compared to other miniatures games where you might just roll raw dice, right? Not really the case in Shatterpoint through some lenses.
Yeah, I think that's totally valid and fair, and I actually really like that about this game. So I played in an event recently where a character that was very weak just rolled dice at one of my stronger characters and just did 4 damage, right?
And this was not Shatterpoint.
No, this was not Shatterpoint.
Okay.
And this character only has like 6 or 7 health, so 4 damage is a considerable amount of damage, right? With the fact that it's just some random weak character that was just rolling dice at me.
Yep.
In Shatterpoint, I think every tier of unit, whether it's support, secondary, or primary, they kind of know their place. And when I say that, it's clearly defined in what the characters are able to do through their combat tree. And these are on their stance cards. And the stance cards are a lot more than the combat tree, but to just highlight on this very quickly, obviously Vader or Grievous and Anakin can do a lot of damage. But Obi-2, who you mentioned earlier, have the ability to maybe do some neat things in terms of recover. A recover action is where they can heal themselves or the allies around them. And you can think about that as Obi-Wan being a protector, or the fact that he may be rousing them with inspiring words or protecting them with blaster shots so that they're able to get their bearings. Conversely, you know, certain clones, maybe their output isn't a lot in terms of damage, but they can maybe do conditions, right? They have some ways in which they can apply pin, right? Or a strain while yep. someone else is attacking them. And so there's so many cool things that all these units can do. But what this also stops from happening is a random supporting unit, let's say again, a B1 or a B2 or a clone trooper or a Mandalorian, walking up to your Jedi Master or Sith Lord or Queen Amidala or Cad Bane and just rolling some dice and just one-shotting your character.
It's unlikely, right?
It is unlikely because there's a limited amount of damage that they can do. And the damage isn't necessarily easily accessible. Like maybe you have to get 4 or 5 successes to get to that big sweet damage payout. But in order to do that, you may have to give up some of your utility, which is why I love the combat trees, because they give you choice. Do I play for positioning or do I push for damage? Do I try to put a condition on or do I take a reposition? And that's not even scratching the surface. I mean, we talk about the expertise trees as well, right?
Yeah, another element of the game.
Yeah, like every character, when evaluating them, you don't just read their card and then look at their damage tree. You have to look at their expertise, because some characters, for example, are really good at different things. Jango is very good at shooting things.
Yeah.
Anakin, Mace, very good at hitting things in melee. Obi-2 or maybe more defensively minded Jedi like Luminara
yep.
are really good at blocking things, right? The value yep. in Luminara is her survivability and her utility rather than her raw damage. And so that I think is really fascinating as well when you're evaluating characters.
Absolutely well said. Yeah. And it kind of like also through the nature of combat trees, we haven't touched on it yet, but you have choices, right? And you got to stick to your choices and continue on that path of the tree. And you're kind of locked in that set way, or maybe you can come back across something like that. But through that nature, every time you play a character, every time you go through their tree of one side of their forms, because they have two forms, if they're a primary, and now to be some secondaries, according to AMG, you're experiencing different things they can do every time you play, right? And I kind of always say, like, with other games, we've got these abilities kind of baked in on the character card, but in Shatterpoint, some of the abilities are baked in as you get through your tree, right? As your character better does that thing that they're good at doing when they fight. And what's cool about that is the more games you play, the more you better understand their tree, the more you can better use it, but also the more you experience it and you go different directions and you're like, oh, maybe I was sleeping on the particular form and I'm going to start using it more and go the top path, which I usually go the bottom, right? And with all that said, it gives you a lot of agency and a very simple and easy to understand game. But then we get into the nuance, Amon. And this is one of the first nuance points I've got is trees are nuanced. The direction you go is nuanced. The conditions you put out is nuanced. The shoves that you do and the follow-ups that you do on shoves, completely nuanced. And this is all baked into the player skill and the little increments that win you the game, right? These little choices you make. And, you know, combat tree is a great example of that. You make so many mini choices, right? And I love that. I just love that.
Well said, and I absolutely agree. And you mentioned player skill and things like that, and I think that's a great segue into talking about, I think, again, another one of my favorite aspects of this game is that players can really get what they want out of Star Wars Shatterpoint. It's a very simple game. Super simple.
At its core, yeah. Exactly. Easy to learn.
Easy to learn, hard to master, which a lot of games say that.
Yeah, they do.
This one actually is, and... Again, this is just our anecdotal experience, but we've been living and breathing this game since March, right?
Yeah.
And so this is just our opinion, and this stems from a lot of ways. Again, you want to play a casual game where you're just having fun rolling dice and maybe challenging yourself from a strategic perspective? Great. You can play either the box squads that come together, or you can mix and match, but... Really, like, list building is simple. You want to play Galactic Republic? Throw a bunch of Galactic Republic stuff together. You want to play Separatists? You can. You want some further depth in your list building? Okay, throw in some Bounty Hunters. Or maybe try a primary that might not necessarily work. Like, right now, Jesse is playing Grievous and Luminara. That's super cool. That's not necessarily something that's canon, but if you don't care about canon, then you can try whatever you want. If you want to play canon, you can. And this extends to the actual gameplay as well. Some criticism that I've heard of Shatterpoint, and I think it's important to address that, especially if you're someone who's on the fence about getting into the game, is some people will say that this game is not competitive.
Yes.
We would hard disagree.
Those same people would also say that you don't have a lot of player choice or autonomy, and I would hard disagree with that as well.
100%. You actually do have a lot of agency in this game. It's just not in the normal way that you generally gain agency in other games.
It's the flow of the force and how you respond to it.
Absolutely. Well said, man. And the thing is, it's like, yeah, there are some things that are out of control. You know, let's say that you really need something to happen on the left side of the battlefield and you draw a card and it's a unit on the right side of the battlefield. Okay, tough luck. But what can you do on that right side of the battlefield to help you defend it and secure it? Maybe you throw that card in reserve. You know, sometimes the variance is not going to be with you. And that's what variance is. It's variance. You can't control it. But what I've seen is the players who consistently make the right plays and make the right moves and don't worry too much about the variance will consistently prevail. And that's why I get really charged when I hear that this game isn't competitive, because it is.
Yeah, it's
yes, great. Dice are going to dice. Yes, draws are going to draw. But why are the same people winning?
Yeah.
And that's what I really enjoy. And there's a lot of micro decisions that actually build up and can truly dictate the outcome of a game. Like, Jesse and I could be playing a game, could be completely matched, pushing that struggle tracker back and forth. And then all of a sudden, if one person makes a misplay, then that could just spell the end. Right. And it's not to say that this game isn't forgiving. It is. It's quite forgiving.
Yeah.
But at a certain level of play, those decisions matter. You know, I'll give you another personal anecdote. I was playing Fifth Brother and I'd saved some force so that I could do a force jump, make sure I could get to a point. And because of Inquisitorial Mandate, I could win the point for my opponent. That's their special rule.
Yeah.
But for some reason, and I had saved this force for like 4 or 5 turns.
Oh, right? No.
And then for some reason, this crazy attack was about to happen, so I used it to Jedi mind trick instead. And what that ended up doing is, yeah, I saved the unit, but I lost the struggle.
Because Fifth Brother couldn't get in the fight.
Right, because Fifth Brother couldn't get there and take that point back, which means my opponent scored more.
Yep.
Because I scored less. And so I thought about that, and I was like, well, now I know next time, you know, like, it's okay to maybe lose Obi-2 or someone else in that moment.
Yeah.
Because the objective was to get on that point. And so some people might say like, oh, well, you know, you had no control of when Fifth Brother was going to go or not. Like, sure, but I had planned for it.
And I know he's coming.
And I know he's coming, and I messed up the plan, right? So
it's a good example. Yeah, it's a very good example. I love this game because you never have enough force and you never have enough perfect information, but you can always outplay your opponent. And that's, I think, extra unique to our game because some of the elements we mentioned that were kind of detriments in other games that we don't have, models being removed top of round one from the game permanently, stuff like that. Things like that don't happen as much. So these incremental decisions and advantages you gain really do matter, which is super fun. And that applies at a casual and a competitive level, right? There, and it also makes it feel more Star Wars. It makes it really feel more Star Wars where you kind of maybe give up struggle one because it's just not going in your favor, but that's okay. You save a lot of your force. You save your best characters for last. The second struggle two flips, you pull that character from reserve. You may make like a 3-point swing top of struggle two with a momentum kill on a character. Okay, now you're in a good spot, right? And you orchestrated that. You orchestrated that. You gave up something early on to guarantee something later that you could properly execute, right? And that's, the game's got so many questions at all time because of that. And I honestly think, Amon, the deck system makes those moments happen more and makes those decisions happen more. Because in some games, there's a play pattern of, oh, I have priority. I go with my best model at the top of a turn. I remove something from your side, right? Not the case in Shatterpoint because the order deck. Also, like I said, Shatterpoint, every model matters. Every model is going to score you the same. Sometimes you Shatterpoint those 501st clones and walk on the point and win the struggle, right? It's not always exactly about Anakin doing the most heroic thing. It's about getting the mission done, you know? And I love that because as a player, you've kind of got to check yourself and be like, wait a second, is going with Anakin right now the best move? Or do I just position to win struggle two next turn, right? By moving my supports up the board, right? So I love that there's so many questions like that at all times. And that just adds to both sides of this argument of casual and competitive play both being so rewarding and so fun and so back and forth and so thematic. So all about it.
I completely agree. And this might be a hot take, but Star Wars Shatterpoint might be the most skill determinant game that AMG has ever made.
Yeah.
And it's because it's not overtly obvious on where that skill comes into play.
Okay. You're saying it's from a lot of areas.
Yeah, I think incrementally. So. And every game is different because Star Wars Shatterpoint, you start the game with being able to do everything with your characters.
That's true.
You know, like if we make a direct comparison to Marvel Crisis Protocol, I feel like a lot of Marvel Crisis Protocol games are the same.
Oh, yeah. Early on?
Yeah, you slowly spread onto points, you ramp up, and then someone loses the midline, and then you apply pressure, and generally it's a snowball, and then the game's over. That's almost every game of MCP. Shatterpoint, I think, is quite different because no two games are often alike. I will not sit here and say that I haven't had a couple games play out similarly.
Yeah.
But I think with the introduction of the new mission pack and hopefully more to come, there is more variance and there is more interesting aspects and decision points because, you know, let's talk about the mission pack. For example, there's a character, Ahsoka, who I think personally shines in Sabotage Showdown Mission Pack 2.
Right.
Versus shifting priorities, right? Like, I think she is not as efficient on that particular mission. So you maybe try some other things and you mess around and you experiment. But at the end of the day, I think Shatterpoint allows you to really be rewarded for really trying to think about everything well in advance. Anticipation. It's not playing checkers. You got to play chess.
Yeah.
And a lot of games think they're playing chess when they're playing checkers, but Shatterpoint really does feel like chess. And honestly, I find that quite exhilarating. Obviously, variance makes it not chess. but you can't control that.
Absolutely. But I mean, also the variance is also what makes it feel like chess sometimes too, right? Because you're best reacting and planning minute by minute, right? Just think of like the crew in Rogue One, right? That's what you're doing in this game. The plan's constantly changing. You're getting advantages and disadvantages in the battle, and you have to adapt on the fly. If not, you will lose the battle and you will not get the plans to the Rebel fleet like they did in Rogue One. If one incremental decision would have changed, right? And that's kind of what they try to make through this game, which I love. And that's kind of the nature of the scoring, the objectives, and the way they designed this game. Very much feels that way. And I really like that. And I think a big part of it too, Ahmad, is the one movement action per characters. That just feels fundamentally different than a lot of other war games I've played and miniatures games. And I love it because you know that every character can only move one time as an action. Of course, there's all sorts of other things that can give you moves in the game and stuff, but you've got to be planning those ahead. It's like that example we gave earlier with Separatists. My B1s are asleep because they're knocked out, but I'm still moving them with my droid officers for next turn, you know, things like that. So I think the checkers and chess analogies are right on the money.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Is there anything else we want to hit them on while we're here at the end of this episode? Because I think we've hit on the core mechanics of the game. And I think the part that you just hit on, which is kind of hard and intangible, is something I do want to mention. It is one of those games, the more you play, the more you see the Matrix and the more fun you have. Because it is that chess thing where you're like, wait, I'm 20 games in and a knight can do this. I didn't really realize that because I hadn't moved the knight X amount of times till 20 games in. I'm not saying that like you have to do that to get the highest level out of a Shatterpoint. What I'm saying is it is very rewarding if you do so. And I think that's a high praise of a game that you're spending money on, right? And your time with, right? I think if you're saying, hey, you think you enjoy the game now, 5 games in, let me tell you, 15 games in, you're going to be having even more fun. And I think that's a sign of a good game too.
Absolutely. Sign of a great game. The fact that the more that you play it, the more that it allows you to indulge in it, in its intricacies, in its minutia, in its possibilities. And the fact that, you know, you could argue that the meta has been pretty consistent, but it's still fun to figure out how to counter what people are playing, what's popular, true. What's not. And that's been quite enjoyable. The experimentation, I think, is quite fun because then you're thinking, like, again, this Ahsoka example, right? It's like, okay, well, if people want to play characters that hit really hard, Ahsoka's really good at stopping that damage.
I love
Dooku
that.
Is really good at punishing your opponent for taking casualties or for rather meeting out casualties to you, right?
Yeah.
So I think the nuance is there. I think the fun is there, and it's Star Wars at the end of the day, so it's going to look cool. You're going to have fun. You're going to look cool doing it.
True. That's very true. Look at some of these models, you know, and this terrain.
Yeah, that's another thing that we haven't even really talked about. We talked about the verticality, but the fact that the terrain can get really wild in this game.
Yeah, and work.
And work.
It's not just like for looks, right? To like have the awesome table. As someone who makes terrain boards and something I really enjoy and pride myself on doing for my local community, I've done it for Star Wars games, I've done it for Marvel Crisis Protocol. Shatterpoint is just this amazing game to like be creative with terrain, because not only are you being creative as an artist making terrain, but also you're playing a new game system that harnesses terrain in a way that's never been done. So it's actually rewarding your players that are playing on your terrain and getting all the enjoyment out of it. You know, some games have pretty terrain that's just line of sight blockers, right? It's just amazing, beautiful terrain. It's just a line of sight blocker at the end of the day. Shatterpoint, you can jump on the top of that volcano or whatever. Like, you can fight there. Like, it's whatever it is. It's whatever imagination can hold. So, terrain, I think we're just in the beginning of this, Ahmad. We're just in the beginning.
Yes, I agree. And the last thing I want to point out, actually, that just came to mind is that there is a lot of support from the company, Atomic Mass Games, for Star Wars Shatterpoint.
Yeah.
They have already answered questions, common questions that have come up with the rulebook. They have clarified the rulebook, have improved upon it through a digital setting that's on their website. So the game is actively being supported and actively being worked on, which is amazing. They just announced a slew of events for upcoming conventions in the coming year. And there are some unique and fun and exciting new ways to play the game, but also compete and casually play. It's just the beginning and it's going to be a great time.
Absolutely. We're only 7 months in. We've got so many models. We've got 2 new factions on the rise in the Rebel Alliance and the Galactic Empire with a new era as well, right? Like feeding more into that era that we got with the Inquisitors and OB2. Of course, Vader Jedi Hunter. Future's bright, Amon. Future's bright. I mean, you know, we're not even, like I said, we're just barely over half year into this game, and AMG has already poured so much into it, and they've already made so many releases. I would say that's probably one of the final last points to talk about. Like you kind of just said, we've already got more miniatures than some games a year and a half, 2 years in, right? And we're not even 1 year into the game yet, right? Like, can you imagine how many miniatures we have by July, right? When the game's like fully in over 1 year cycle, right? That also bodes really well for the game, because maybe your favorite character in Star Wars is not in the game yet, right? I have a feeling they might be coming, and that's also very good. And you will get your character and get to have fun with them.
Well said. I mean, they've already teased a ton of characters, and we have characters that are coming from movies, coming from TV shows,
yeah,
coming from video games. So the source material that they can pick from is quite expansive, and they're willing to go places that perhaps other games haven't gone before, which is also super exciting. So very curious to see how the game evolves, what characters are highlighted. You know, it could be so unique as a group of characters that had a really cool arc in maybe a series or a season of the Clone Wars, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then they're gone after four or five episodes. But could they make it in a game? They haven't made it into other games.
I'm into any of it. Any character in Star Wars. I think they could work well in this game, right? By the nature of the rules and the creative design of the game. Yeah, give me some characters from Andor or something, right? Like, there's all so many amazing things currently in Star Wars that we could pull from, and we got a great year ahead of us, Amon, and this is, I think, a really amazing way to end this year of Hello There and Star Wars Shatterpoint for 2023.
100%.
Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this discussion. Once again, if you are maybe new to Shatterpoint or maybe on the fence, like Amon mentioned earlier, if you go back through our episodes, we did do the opening crawl episode, which is our first episode, and the Shatterpoint Holocron, our second episode, which better paint the picture of the rules and elements of Shatterpoint to like help you fully understand and get into the game, maybe at the level that you want to be before you make a final decision. Those resources are there. And also in the early episodes of our show, like the Ahsoka episode onward, we talk about how to play these characters at their base rules and their base play styles and stuff, and what that looks like for you. So hopefully that could be of some use if you are new here. But we got to talk about, Amon, where everyone can find us online and engage with us in these conversations about Star Wars Shatterpoint that we love so much. What do you love about Star Wars Shatterpoint? Reach out to us. So you can find us on, of course, Patreon. We mentioned, you can become a Hello There patron by going to patreon.com/HelloThereCast, which will get you immediate access to our private Discord, our leagues, and so many other things, including the bonus episodes, which, as Amon said, we posted a holiday one recently that was really fun. You can also find us everywhere online at Hello There Cast. That's X, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch. And you can email us at hellotherecast@gmail.com with any inquiries or collaborations or discussions. And leave us reviews on your podcast platform of choice. It really means a lot. You guys are showing up in a big way on Spotify, and we're trying to hit that goal on Apple Podcasts now of getting over 100 reviews to match Spotify. So help us achieve that with your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, super excited about that one.
I think we can do it with all our Apple listeners out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course, we got to thank Lowfield for our show's music. And you can find me and Amon in several spaces online. You can find me, Jesse, on X, Instagram, Longshanks, Discord, all the same place, at Jesse Aiken, JesseEAkin. And you can check out my show, Fury's Finest, about everything Marvel Crisis Protocol and the Marvel Universe. Amon, where can everyone find you?
You can find me at A Man Who Games on X and everywhere else, Amon Kusro. There's some variation of Amon. I'm the only one. That's a long joke. If this is your first episode tuning in, you've got a couple episodes to catch up on to let the joke build up a little bit.
Very good. Well, it's end of the year, Amon. This has been a great first year for us with Hello There. And it honestly does feel like a year, because you and I started these conversations in January about this very show and the plans and preparations. We'll probably do a year in review discussion soon. I thought this was a really fun way to end the year and wish everyone a happy holidays and spend time with your family and just tell them why you love Shatterpoint.
Absolutely. And if you get any Christmas money or you're looking for a last minute Christmas gift, definitely give Shatterpoint a go. I don't think you'll regret it. While the price might be a little intimidating, I think you get a lot for that box. A lot.
Oh, and the expansion boxes are a steal in the miniatures gaming world, right? You get anywhere from 4 to 5 models in expansion box for $50 MSRP, right? That is unheard of for games at this scale, quite honestly. Games at a heroic scale with 4 or 5 models in a box, that just doesn't happen, right? Other game systems charge you this for one model, right? Quite frequently. And we play some of those game systems. So I think it's absolutely a steal. And if maybe you've been on the fence with Rebels or Empire, now's your time, because in January, we're getting Luke and Vader, our first Rebel and Empire boxes respectively. And now we know in February, we're getting all the Ewoks, which will kind of start rounding out your Rebel list. And I would assume, Amon, sometime after that, we'll get our next Empire box.
Absolutely. Rebels and Empire are on the way. And what a great time to join the game, especially if you're a fan of the original trilogy. Lots of cool things to do here. A lot of cool things that are upcoming. And if you're interested in what some of the things are that are coming, we have an episode where we talk about those reveals during the mini extravaganza episode. So looking forward to having you, listener, join our community. And if you want some help, if you want some feedback, if you want some great, safe conversation in a safe space, come join our Discord again. We've got an amazing group of people who are willing to teach you the game, chat with you. We have regular hangouts. It's a ton of fun.
Oh, absolutely. And our leagues are in full swing. We, you know, are cutting to top 8 in our nearly 40-person league. And then shortly after that, we'll take a, you know, little break, and then we'll start the next league. So anyone that's been on the fence about joining our Patreon to get in the leagues, if you're jumping in like January, we're going to be starting a new league altogether, right? And we'll start Hello There Episode 4. We're already in the original trilogy, Amon. We're already there. And I'm sure have even more than 40 players, right? Of just these amazing players that, quite frankly, like, as you said, bring the heat competitively. But also, I have the most amazing conversations when I meet for these TTS games and hang out with these wonderful people.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been a fun episode. We appreciate you guys spending time with us this year in 2023. And we'll see you guys very soon in the next year. May the force be with you.
Happy holidays.
So uncivilized.